The message today, it might sound like a funny title, but if you stick with me, just kind of hang with me, there is some meat in here, and I believe it's going to be a blessing to us today. Let's bow our heads. Father, in Jesus' name, God, we are so grateful for your presence with us today. Father, we thank you so much that as we learn to trust you, God, as we learn to depend upon you, Lord, we find that we are never disappointed. So, Father, we ask you to have your way this morning. God, would you open our spiritual ears that we might hear what you have to say to us today. Father, we ask you to let all that has happened in this service, let it have been a preparation to hear the word of the living God. Father, we thank you for the Hagedans. We thank you for what you've done in them. And God, we ask you to just let that blessing continue to flow over them. Father, bless your word today. We come because we believe you have given us a word for the people. And so we ask you to just anoint us as we minister the word of God. In Jesus' name. Title today is Mirrors, Jesus, and God's Glory. You know, we use mirrors a lot. Probably most of us used a mirror this morning. Some of us have to take a little longer than others of us. I've heard that there are some women that take 2 hours to put on their makeup, and I think, that has got to be a real chore. I just cannot figure that one out. But We look into mirrors, we are looking at an image of ourselves. And in a physical mirror, when we look at ourselves, we are hoping to fix something that's not right. Or if everything is perfectly beautiful, then we are admiring ourselves and thinking how wonderful we must be. But sometimes mirrors point up things that if you don't fix, somebody's going to walk up to you and they're going to fix it for you. And they're going to say, you must not have known that you had this and so going on. So scripture talks about mirrors several different ways in the New Testament. And the first one we're going to look at is James 1, 23 through 24. And it says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. This scripture says to us that God's word should be like a mirror to us. And just as we look at a natural mirror and it shows us what's wrong and what's right and how to fix our blemishes and the bad things, the imperfections, so the word of God shows us what's right and what's wrong. And our response to the word of God, even the spoken word of God, when we hear it on Sunday morning, our response should always be, how can I measure up? What do I need to do as I'm looking into what you say is your standard? What do I need to do to change and fix my life? We should be measuring our lives against the word. If we want to be victorious Christians, the instructor's manual, like if you've been in our children's church, up on the wall, they have the instructor's manuals, and they're all the books of the Bible, and our kids are learning those books of the Bible. And so the instructor's manual is what's going to tell us how to get life right. Have you ever had things just go so horribly wrong, and the only thing that got you through was the Word of God? So that's what it's intended to do. We look at the Word of God as our standard. Most of us have seen makeovers on TV. Everybody's seen a makeover? And they show you, nobody's seen a makeover. That's what I just decided. Nobody has seen a makeover. Okay, they show you a picture of just somebody that really needs help. I mean, I think they make them look worse than they really look, you know. frumpy clothes, hair a mess, no makeup, nothing about them is right. And then they send them behind the screen for 5 or 10 minutes, and they come out, and they look amazing. And we all think, oh, I wish I could have a makeover. Well, you know what? Those are all outward things. And in this day and age, it is not the outward things that we need to be fixing. It is the inward things that we need to be fixing. This passage of Scripture says that when we hear or read the Word of God, but we don't do it or live it or put it into practice, it's just like someone that looks into a mirror and then walks away totally forgetting what he has seen. It's kind of like looking at yourself in the mirror and deciding, I really could look a little better today, but I just don't have time today. It won't matter if I don't fix myself up. I just have to run to Safeway or Fry's or Walmart or wherever you shop. I just have to run for two things. And it really doesn't matter, you know, just no makeup, no combing the hair. I'm in my grubbies. And it's only two things. And I'm going to be out in 5 minutes. And you run and you take care of those two things. And you're just about to make it. Man, you get to the checkout line. And as you're in the checkout line, you turn around and there's Pastor and Mrs., not us, but another Pastor and Mrs., that anytime I see them, and this is a real Pastor and Mrs. that I have really run into, every time I see them, they are dressed to the T. They look amazing. And here I am. This really is a true story. And here I am. And what they're saying is that you, Pastor Carolyn? And I've got my head down. No, you must be thinking of someone else. You know, God doesn't want us like that, okay? He wants us to always be measuring up to His Word. He doesn't want us to take those little chances. You know, that's just a funny story, but when you talk about your soul, when you're talking about your soul and not getting your soul together, God could have something major for you to do for Him that day. And if you have not taken care of what the Word of God says you need to take care of, you won't be ready. That's a funny thing to us now as we hear that grocery store story, but it really, if we think about it in spiritual terms, it's not a funny story. The world is too crazy right now to live outside of God's Word and just be a hearer of the Word. You cannot just be a hearer of the Word. You will not succeed in this life. You will find yourself in a situation where you need God, and because you have not been doing the Word, you will not be ready for what God has for you. But it is a process, and we do need God's ability. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, just as I also am known." Years ago, back in Bible days, mirrors were made of polished brass or polished metal, and so they were nothing like the mirrors now. And so when Paul says, now we can look into a mirror, we can't see, it's nothing like what we can see now. But then it was very dim, and he was relating that to the fact that it's like looking into a mirror and not fully being able to see the image, but one day we are going to see face to face the one who created us. We are going to be able to see face to face our maker, our creator. And the metaphor of being imperfect and foggy is kind of like, Lord, how do I live this life? I need to know how to live this life. Would you help me to know how to live this life? Even gazing into mirror, now we only know in part a slight image of God and ourselves, but there is coming a time when the revelation, when that which is perfect, the heavenly will come and will be complete. I wish I had a little more time, but we're just going to keep going. John says it another way. 1 John 3:2 says, Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. From this brief background on mirrors, we understand that God's word is like a mirror, and God expects us to look into the mirror of his word. Say, the mirror is his word. He expects us to look into the mirror of his word and then do what his word says. And then we understand that we can only see dimly into the mirror of God's word, but one day we will move into a place where we will see clearly with spirit eyes, and we will know God in the same way that he knows us. The background puts us in a place to look at the main focus of the message today. We finally got there, and we're 2 Corinthians 3:17 through 18. And it says this, Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Today we want to see that by God's grace, we don't have to fix our imperfections or measure up to the law. We don't have to have somebody even give us a makeover, even a spiritual makeover. God has already prepared by his word a way to change us from the way we used to be spiritually. He has a plan to transform us into his image, so that we reflect more and more the glory that we behold. In other words, the word says that we now, with an unveiled face, nothing is between us and the mirror, we behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we are being transformed into that image, the glory of the Lord. Do you see that? We are being transformed into the glory of the Lord from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Pastor gave me a book called Beholding and Becoming. And I love that title because it speaks exactly to what we're trying to get here to today. And that is, beholding the glory of the Lord makes us into the image that God wants us to be, which is to be like Jesus. Do you get that? We are to be gazing into the Word of God. And as we gaze into the Word of God, we are seeing the glory of the Lord. And we are being transformed into that glory. You know, I grew up in a holiness church. And holiness church, I love them because they gave me a wonderful background. But they also put a lot of stuff on me that it took me a while to get over. I mean, no wedding rings, no makeup, no earrings, skirts to the floor. Those kind of laws will not, do you hear me? They will not make you into the image of Jesus Christ. They will put bondage on people that makes them sometimes run away from it because it doesn't make any sense to them. And I love my Church of God. I just want you to know that. And they have graduated. They have come out of all that. They now marry with wedding rings, and you can wear makeup, and you can even wear slacks to church. And it's all okay. So I'm just saying that the law will not make you into the image that God wants to create you to be. So please understand that this is a really extensive thing. If we go back and talk about Moses and when he came down from the mountain and he had to have a veil over his face because the Shekinah glory was so great. And so I don't have time to go into that. That's like a 2-hour message right there. But that's what God was doing in the Old Testament. But listen to the amplified version of what we just read. But whenever a person turns in repentance and faith to the Lord, the veil, that's the veil that Moses wore that kept the people from seeing the glory of God on his face, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, emancipation from bondage, true freedom. And now we all, because the veil is taken away, with unveiled face, continually seeing as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are progressively being transformed into His image from one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now, I think we ought to give God a good hallelujah for that. You know what that says to me? That says, I don't have to do it all myself. It is the Word of God and the glory of God as we gaze into His Word that changes us into the image that we are looking at, which is the glory of God. I think that's amazing. I think it'll set a whole lot of people free when they understand and recognize it's not all about what I do, but it's about looking into the Word of God. And it's about letting myself be transformed into the image that God is showing me in His Word. Jesus Christ lifts the veil, and then life isn't puzzling anymore. Then you don't have to worry about, why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? You know, why do I keep having this problem? He lifts the veil. He lifts the veil, people. The veil that separated us from what God wanted from us. And now we are able to look. We are able to look into that mirror. We are able to look at the glory of God. And it is not complicated. I want you to know that. Sometimes we make salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we make it all so complicated. It's not complicated. It's grace. It's grace. It's grace. It's grace. It's grace. It's grace. Thank God for grace. Thank God for grace. The revelation of the glory of God brings us into liberty in Christ so that the bondage of sin no longer has rule over us. The veil is now gone. No more deception. No more bondage. No barriers. No phoniness. No trying to be free. You can give up trying to be free. I've tried to be free. You can't be free outside of Jesus, because somebody is always going to put something on you to have you in bondage. And so Jesus says, if you will gaze into my glory, if you will look at me, don't look at the folks around you. You all are wonderful, and I love looking at you, but I just want you to know, when I need to know what Jesus wants, I'm really not going to look at you. I'm going to look at Him. And I'm going to look at what the Word says about Him, because I want to be transformed into His glory, into His glory. Joseph Prince says, God doesn't want you to just see yourself in the natural when you look into a mirror. You might be sick or wounded or weak. God wants you to see yourself as He sees you in the mirror. He wants to see you healed, strong, whole, free. Why? Because Christ is in you. Not because of what you did, but because Christ is in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. Hallelujah, that Christ is in us. And He's the one that makes us strong. He's the one that heals us. He's the one that sets us free. Joseph Prince goes on to explain, the world will never understand that as you are beholding the glory of the Lord, who is the successful one in you, it's Him that's successful. It's not you. I mean, we give you the credit, but it's really Him in you that's successful. He is the successful one in you. You are being transformed from a failure into a success, from sickness to health. This is not accomplished by any effort of yours to be better, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Zechariah 4:6b says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. So stop focusing on yourself. If we all just sat around looking at us, we would be a pitiful church. Every one of us has something we're not real proud of. Every one of us. Something God delivered us from or saved us from. Something that God is healing us from. How many of us are in the process of being healed? Hallelujah. But we don't sit around looking at the sickness and letting it take control of us. We sit around looking at Jesus and letting the healing take control of us. Don't get a magnifying mirror and look at yourself. I have one of those. And I'm telling you, a magnifying mirror will show you things you do not want to see. You will say, I'm very sorry I bought this, because it is showing too many flaws, too many blemishes. I won't name the other things that it will show. You don't need a magnifying mirror. You need Jesus. And you need His image, His glory that you are beholding, so that you can become who He is. Look at the Amplified again, verse 18. And we all with unveiled face, continually seeing as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are progressively being transformed into His image from one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The key word here is continually. It seems that if we truly desire to be transformed into His image, it is not going to be just a quick look. It cannot be a minute a day looking at the Word and thinking you're going to be transformed into the image of Christ. This says continually. It must become a pattern. It is not a little dabble, do you? I think I've heard pastors say that. In this instance, a little dab will not do you. In this instance, you need to continually be beholding the face of Jesus. This is not magic, folks. This is transformation by the Spirit of the living God. And it will mean the desired effect of being like Jesus will take more than a quick look. Periodically won't do it. Continually will. We must develop a lifestyle of beholding Him, of looking at Him. Jesus, I'm looking at You. This world is too crazy. I cannot look at this world. Let me just say something. With all the violence going on, don't look at every single possible minute of that stuff that you can. Look at enough to let you know how to pray. But that stuff will dry your spirit up. It will steal faith from you. It will make you wonder what the world is coming to, which is probably a good thing to wonder, but it will take faith from you, and it will put on you a spirit of that, I don't even know what to call it, not just a spirit of violence, but it's like, for me, it's like it drags me down, and it takes me a while to, like, shake it off and get rid of it. Ephesians 5:25 and 26 says, This scripture talks about what happens to us when we are constantly in the Word. And the first part of it starts off, husband, love your wives. I love that. Husbands, yes, love your wives. But the part I want you to see is, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. What is going to cleanse us? The washing of water by the word. It is the word of God that will help you get rid of all that garbage that wants to attach itself to you. And as you find yourself getting overwhelmed with that kind of stuff, I'm telling you, get into the word. Get into the word. John 8:31 says, Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Abiding in the word of God, living in the word of God, that's where we want to be. This abiding is being in his presence. It's worshiping him. It's beholding his face. It's letting his glory be seen in us. His word assures us that as we do that, we become more like him. That is not a mere external or surface reflection, like in a physical mirror, but our very spirit man is being transformed from the inside out. Honestly, though, I have found that the more we look at Jesus, the more we realize we don't always look a lot like him, and we don't always act a lot like him. Remember what Joseph Prince says, it is transformation by the Spirit of the Lord as we behold his glory. How did Jesus touch people? How did Jesus love unlovable people? Would he be impressed by the same things that impress me? Would he like the same things I like? Would he be disgusted by the same things that disgust me? Would he treat people the way I treat people? If we want to be more like him, it seems like we ought to be looking at him a whole lot more. We ought to be spending more time beholding him. Looking at him. When someone says, like father, like son, that's really a blessing if you got a good son, okay? It means that something from the dad came through to the son. And isn't that what we want? Something from father. You know, Jesus said he only did what he saw his father do. I want to be, I don't know if this is feminine or not, but I don't care if it's feminine or not, because I want to be a chip off the old block. I want to be like Jesus. And I'll take that. I will take that. I will take that. When we sing the song, when I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, does that really happen? You know, if you find yourself worshiping more and singing things like that and directing your attention to Jesus and beholding him, you will find that the things of this earth, they will start to lose their importance to you. And it really won't matter what people say about you, what people think about you. When we sing, oh Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I seek. For when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. So, so, so true. And what about when we sing, I am changed in the presence of an awesome God? Worshiping God is beholding him, and it will be part of our transformation. From today forward, let's encourage one another to renew our spiritual focus. Our focus must be on who Christ is in us. And real quickly, I want us to look at what it means to behold his glory. To behold his glory is to experience a supernatural release of God's anointing and presence. What does the anointing do? It breaks yokes. It gives supernatural ability. To behold his glory is to experience his supernatural grace. We are not under the law, but under grace. We can't earn what he has done for us. To behold his glory is to experience his divine favor. And that is tangible evidence of God's approval. It's God's delight. You have favor when you're blessed when you're coming and blessed when you're going. People see the favor of God on you and they'll start to ask you, how did that happen? And you get to tell them, it's because I'm beholding my Savior. It's because He did for me what I couldn't do for myself. Beholding His glory is experiencing His joy and presence. And we all know that in His presence there is fullness of joy. To behold His glory is to see His greatness, minimizing our fears, our difficulties, and the works of the enemy. Folks, behold the glory of the Lord, and you will not be frightened by the enemy. You will not be pulled down and cast down by the things of this world. Why? Because you're looking at Jesus, the author, the finisher of your faith. And that says to me, if He started me out this way, He's going to get me to the end. So don't let all of that stuff become what you look at. Behold the glory of the Lord. To behold the glory of the Lord is to move from obscurity, shame, and disgrace to increase honor and respect. We can't remove disgrace from us. We can't remove shame. But God can change us. He can give us a new name, a new heart, a new reputation. The Word says He makes us brand new. Now, I believe that. I don't know how many of you believe it, but I believe it. And I believe that as people begin to look at us, they will want to know, how did you change? You used to be like that. How did you get to be like this? It's because I'm beholding my Savior. And finally, I believe the main result of this message on mirrors, Jesus and God's glory, is that we truly behold Jesus individually. If we truly will behold Jesus individually and be transformed into His image, then corporately we will become a place of God's presence where His glory is evident and real and heavy and life-changing and transforming. We will be that end-time church that looks like Jesus. We will have all that we need to fulfill the call of God on our lives. We will have the people, the resources, and the finance to do what God has called us to do. We will have prayer meetings like we had yesterday that filled the suite over there, and the glory of the Lord filled that room, and prayer was powerful and anointed, and it looked like Jesus, and it looked like His presence. We will have, when the glory of the Lord is present, we will be overrun with people to help us do ministry. Every kind of serving. When the glory of the Lord is present on us individually, we won't have to beg people to do things. Well, we really don't have to beg you all much. So I think, you know, we're getting there. But the glory of the Lord changes us to where we don't need somebody to keep saying over and over and over again, we need ushers, we need ushers. We need transportation people. We need people to clean the church. We won't have to say that because the glory of the Lord has filled us all so much and we all are so much like Jesus that you're running us down to say, I want to be an usher. Tell me how to do it. I want to clean the toilets. Tell me how to do it. I want to pray. Tell me how to do it. We won't have to run people down because the glory of the Lord will be all over every individual. And then corporately, we will be a place of His glory. When the glory of the Lord is present, people are going to walk in and be healed without hands being laid on them. Now, if you believe that, lift your hand to heaven and thank the Lord, because I believe it is a possibility. And I believe if we will all take our place in beholding Jesus, that we will get to that place where people will walk in here and they will come down front and they will say, when I came in here, I was so sick. But in the middle of worship, God touched me and I'm healed. I don't know if you believe it, but Pastor and I believe it. And that is what we are praying for this church. And if you think that's radical, well, I'm not going to apologize because it's the word of God. And we believe it can surely happen. When the glory of the Lord is present, families that are at odds with each other will be reconciled because everyone is beholding Jesus, not themselves. You know, when things aren't working right, somebody's looking at themselves and not looking at Jesus. Now, you know, I know we all have. Pastor, do we ever have any little disagreements? Oh, of course we do. Yeah, every 10 years. So I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that when the glory of the Lord is evident in each individual in a family, folks, you can get through things. Listen, you're looking at Jesus. You can get through things. When the glory of the Lord is revealed, petty differences will lose their importance, and humility and the fruit of the Holy Spirit will pervade everything that we do. When the glory of the Lord is revealed, there won't be empty seats in here, and people will line up outside to see what God is doing. I am waiting for that day. Would you pray with us that the glory of the Lord will be so manifest, because all of us, every one of us, are looking into that mirror with unveiled face, and we are seeing Jesus, and we are being transformed into who Jesus wants us to be. We must keep our vision on glorifying God. We must not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It won't happen until we are all seriously beholding, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord being transformed into his image from glory to glory. I would love to do it for you, but I can't. We can't. Only you, by God's grace. I just want you to know that God is not interested in us, in you, being comfortable, being pretty, or being classy. He's not interested in any of that. Now, if those happen to be a byproduct of you being more like Jesus, then that's okay. But God is really not so much concerned about making us, quote, the best church in town. He wants us to love him and serve him and show his glory. That might make us the best church in town, but it might not. It depends on who's drawing the standard. And we know some. Okay. God is interested in seeing us look like Jesus in these end times. He wants us to see a crystal clear HD. Got it? I said HD. I know what HD means. I can see the difference on the channels when Pastor says, this one's in HD and this one isn't. Oh, HD. How many want to be an HD kind of church where God's glory is so evident that we don't have to make excuses for people getting healed and God's word coming forth in glory and power? We don't have to do that. The glory is really not about us, folks. It's so that our reflection of Jesus and that glory draws this dying world into his house so they can know him too. Let's pray. Father, we ask you now, Lord, to let your word go deep into our hearts. And let us not only have heard the word today, but God, would you let us do the word? God, would you let us behold you, Jesus? so that we can be transformed into your image. And when we look like you, Jesus, we believe that we will be a place that will draw men and women to you. In Jesus' name, would you stand? I'm going to give you an opportunity. Because it's so late, we are going to pray and dismiss you. But if you want the glory of God to be released in your life, if you want God to just help you to figure this whole thing out about how to look at Him so you can become like Him, we'd love to pray for you. I invite pastors and elders to come down front.